We are doing the city gates. This is part seven. Seven down, I think five to go. And very, very excited for that. And the sixth gate is the definitive one. Tim's not here, but we need a drum roll. It's the fountain gate. Lots to talk about with this one, because this is our definitive gate. And we truly want to be a house that is a vibrant life spring. We are a house that is a vibrant life spring. Somebody say amen. Now, before I get into some of the exciting elements of the application, can we just take a moment to give it some framework and some pieces of the biblical and historical background? The fountain gate and the water gate, which we will be talking about next week. Interesting word, the water gate. It was located at the southeastern part of the wall, northeast of the dung gate, which is what we talked about last week. So many comments about the dung gate we talked about last week. If you haven't seen it yet, you've got to see that. It'll help you as we navigate through the entire series. It's near the Pool of Siloam by the King's Garden, and it led into the Kindred Valley. Now, the Fountain Gate derived its name from the location where the Siloam Tunnel emerged from the ground and out came water. It was the primary access for water, or known as the fountain. It was the Gihon Spring, and this was Jerusalem's sole perennial source of water. Can you imagine? Like, we just turn on a tap, and then we've got hot, cold, running water. But can you imagine? This was their sole source of water. So, very critical and very important for these people. No indoor plumbing. Anyway, wow. Yeah. Along with everything else, it was also used, this water source was used for the cleaning before proceeding to the temple. Kind of gives you perspective, doesn't it? Of how blessed we are to have beautiful water. One more thing which is so important, and this will really launch us into today, and that is this. One author penned, "Interesting to note, the fountain gate appeared to be the gate in most ruin, so much so that it actually blocked Nehemiah's midnight inspection. And the natural gate, the natural fountain gate, must have been the center of concentrated attack during the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army." Huge attack. Isn't it interesting? He goes on to say, the gate's spiritual counterpart, the life flow of God's Holy Spirit, is always an attack from Satan as well. Something to think about. And isn't that true? He wants to wreak havoc at that very place where there's life, where there's healing, where there's vitality. And we say no. Collective, we say no. Somebody say amen. We say no. And I love that line, the life flow of God's Holy Spirit. Can I just take a moment? Can we just take a moment right here and celebrate that? That's what we want, the life flow of God's Holy Spirit. There's the entire message in one line. Don't leave. Thank God, nothing is going to stop that flow. Because he has promised, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It just depends on where it's going to pour. Because he said he's going to pour it. And may we be a people that tap into the flow of God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Now, getting ahead of myself. So, I want us to first notice some interesting things as we are now at the sixth gate. Interesting how the natural progression from the gates are thus far. We had the sheep gate, fish gate, old gate, valley gate, dung gate. And I've noticed how there's such a linear flow one after the other. And if you haven't watched the whole series, watch it online. And then you're going to notice, wow, they do move one from another, one into another perfectly. And very much when you consider the last two into the fountain gate. And I've been on tippy toes all week, excited about this very, very truth. And we would be amiss if we neglected the incredible illustrative picture as we look at these three locations and their function. The three locations and their function. Watch this. The Valley Gate was quite a distance from the Dung Gate. And then the Dung Gate was actually very close to the Fountain Gate. Are you ready? Write this down. Take a picture of this one. Fantastic to notice the illustrative truth from this scripture. In the long valley experience, deep-seated pain brings desperation for resolution in our heart. We long for these things to be remedied, which brings the eternal, internal poisons to the surface, which in turn are cleared out through the Dung Gate of our soul, allowing the fresh new fountain of life to immediately spring forth. Ah, come on. I have to read that again. In our long valley experiences, and a lot of people have had long valley experiences, maybe even longer than COVID, which we're now broaching into a 12th month. Deep-seated pain brings desperation for resolution. We're desperate for God's healing, which brings the internal poisons to the surface, which are then cleared out by the Dung Gate of our soul, allowing for the fresh new fountain of life to immediately spring forth. Isn't that a beautiful rhythm? Isn't that fantastic? Has anyone said, that's been me over the last year? That's been me over the last month? That's been me over the last many, many months? And oh, Jesus, do a new, fresh thing. The expression of it's always darkest before the dawn certainly applies and resonates right here. Can I just say that again? It is always darkest before the dawn. And if you haven't reached your fountain gate yet, oh, beloved, if you're trusting Jesus and you're holding on to him, your fountain gate is coming. Your fountain gate is coming. Let's move on. It's getting good. The fountain gate is replete with vivid imagery. There's something so beautiful about a water fountain, isn't there? I was looking online, water fountains and waterfalls, you know, those little ones that we put in our front yard or we put on our porch. We've got one that we put on our porch. It's about this big. It's beautiful. But it's that sense of just hearing the water and that little pew. It just sort of flows and then trickles down over the pretend rocks or the pretend jar. But there's just something about it. It's energy. It's the sight and sound of continual burst of refreshing life. And they're not just beautiful. There isn't just sensory appeal. But you know what, church? They're also extremely functional, and this is huge, and this is maybe the essence of the message today. Water fountains aerate ponds. That constant movement keeping bodies of water from being stagnant. Are you knowing where I'm going with this? Water fountains aerate ponds. That constant movement keeping bodies of water from being stagnant. Isn't it interesting that those aerated ponds are typically in places where there's a limited source of natural water? Isn't that true? Are you seeing the illustration here? It's in those desert-type climates where you see lots more of these ponds. I was enamored as we went to Arizona a couple of years ago on vacation. And we'd see these man-made ponds, and they're here. They're all over Calgary. They're all over Canada as well, again, in arid climates. But we were down there, and we noticed lots of man-made lakes, and there was aerated there was these aeration units all over the pond because it has to keep it moving. Now, here's the whole message. Wait for it. Wait for it. In the same way, think of the fountain gate of life, Holy Spirit, in the desert, spiritual desert, in the spiritual desert. It's ultimately the picture of the fresh flow of Holy Spirit bringing life to barren wastelands of addiction and emptiness. And I got good news for you, church. It's either or. It's either or. There's not sort of a mid-cycle. It's brokenness. It's emptiness. It's purposelessness. It's addiction. Or it's the flow of Holy Spirit. I just felt the Lord was all over that sentence. It's one or the other. Somehow we want like, well, I just want to get by. And I'm not really captured or caught up in addictions. But I'm not into that whoop, whoop stuff of Holy Spirit. Oh, church, we need the power, the river, the flow, the fountain of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the only one who can set us free from emptiness and addiction. Somebody say amen. I could go on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, here it is. This is the definitive gate of Emerge Church, the fountain gate. Do you know how I've been waiting and longing and pining to be able to declare this today? In fact, everything preceding this was like a build-up to the fountain gate. In fact, it was a critical factor in our new name. You know, that was a year and a half ago now that we came up with our new name, Emerge Church. Our name had to denote water, at least on some way, but not too overt. And at the time, back almost 2 years ago now, we were to the place of we were down to about five names. And we were vacillating and we prayed and we fasted and said, God, what is it you want? What name do you want that clearly represents us? Do you remember those days, church? And then I remember Lindsay Maudsley. We came out of staff meeting and she came to me and she came to us and she says, I was praying about this last night and I really think it's supposed to be Emerge Church. And it was like, it just sort of landed beautiful in the room. So it was like, okay, then let's look it up. Let's see the definition and let's read what it says. And then one of the definitions said to come forth from the water. Ah, somebody say hallelujah. To come forth from the water. And as they say, the rest is history. And we are Emerge Church. We are a fountain gate. We long to be a living spring of hope and vitality to a perishing and arid and dry land. And it's getting bigger and more glorious and more moist and more wonderful and more vibrant every single day. I watched, even online in this course or in this series, I was watching online. And in this previous one, last week's, it said there was over 450 views. 450 views. Now listen to me. God's been asking me, he said, would you lift your lid Would you lift your lid, Todd? Would you lift your lid? Would you believe for more? Would you believe for more founts, more life? And I am asking Jesus, Lord, I want 1,000 people, and that's just for now. I want 1,000 people to watch and to enjoy and to taste and see that the Lord is good. 1,000 people. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to declare my Savior's praise. I want 1,000 people to taste and see that the Lord is good. Is there other stations? Is there other founts? Is there other churches? Of course. But there's something definitive here. The worship, the sound of our living God. The trumpet sound of our living God, the worship that goes ahead, and then the word that cuts a path for people's lives, the fountain of life. I've alluded to this before. I think I actually shared it at last year's AGM. I probably will share it again at this year's AGM with maybe 2 or 3 minutes. But I just feel so important to, again, explain how important and how significant this is, the fountain gate. We are called to be a house, a vibrant life spring. Numerous people have come to me over the last 2 and 3 years, and people have had visions of fountains right here in this area. Thank the Lord that they're only... they're not real, because then we'd have a cleanup and we'd have to get all sorts of, it would be kind of messy, but thank the Lord. But they see the vision of fountains bursting forth life right here in this stage area, right around this lectern. People have seen that. Not only that, people have seen water walls. I remember Richard Sackney told us back about a couple of years ago, he said, right across this area, he saw this giant, beautiful water wall, and there was beautiful stones on it and like beautiful gems, and there was a water wall flowing with life. Hallelujah. And we say, make it so, Lord. Make it so. And finally, people have had visions of water like a submerged jet stream near the surface, bubbling with life. My wife loves hot tubs. You know, when it's about minus 60 and you run out there in your bathing suit and you slip and fall. No, sorry. Anyway, and you jump in that hot tub, and don't you remember the jets are on, and you'll see the jets flow under the water, but it'll like mountain up. It'll like bubble up. And it's like, oh God, grant that here. Mountains, mountains. Of living, a mountain of living water? Is that like mixing two metaphors? A mountain of water? Anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Spring up, oh well. I got to do it, church. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Do you remember that one? Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Living springs of glorious, bountiful living water flowing out of us. Rivers of living water is really the theme of John as he pens his biography of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John. And this is our scripture for the day. In fact, in John 7, I find it interesting, it says that on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, and I like that because I've got a loud voice, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, what? Rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then he goes on to say, but by this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him would later receive. And oh, when you receive the power of Holy Spirit, there's nothing like it. Up to that moment, the Bible says, up to that moment, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified yet. John 7, 37 to 39. But then the Spirit came, and we know it full well, don't we? In the book of Acts, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, they waited and they waited and they prayed. And then the sound of thundering water and the Spirit of God came. Is anyone thirsty? Anyone? Is anyone thirsty? Anyone? Is anyone thirsty? Anyone? 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 And then the hymn writer goes on and says, then let the river of your Spirit flow. Let the river of your Spirit flow. Let the river of your Spirit flow through me. Is that your cry today? Let the river of your Spirit flow. Let the river of your Spirit flow. Let the river of your Spirit flow, Lord, through me. Through me. And finally, see? Amen. There's the beautiful sound of the river of God. One moment, please. Oh, then there's the story of the lady at the well. See, again, it's the book of John. It's the great theme. The lady at the well. And this was in John 4, if you want to turn there. John 4. It's the wonderful template of teaching how to share the good news to people. Now, I've used this. I love it. Jesus is sharing to the lady. He's sharing with the lady. And you literally begin to read a clinic on how he moved the conversation from natural water to living water, from perceived need to real need. And that's the clue of when you're sharing with people. You move it from the natural to the spiritual. And hear me today, church. Everyone listen to this today. Here is a woman who most would discard, but not Jesus. It's like the lady caught in adultery. Would be discarded, but not Jesus. Here is a woman who was desperate for love and real affection, but was settling for the counterfeit. Was settling for the counterfeit. She had a wake of failed relationships, just like that song says, looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces. Does that sound like 2021 and the counterfeit life that people are living in? Then Jesus reads her mail. If you notice the account in John 4, then Jesus reads her mail. He says, actually, friend, you've been married 5 times, and the person you're sleeping with right now is not even your husband. He didn't do that to judge her. He did that so that she knew he knew and still didn't judge her. I know everything, but I still give you life. I know all these things, but I still offer you hope. I still offer you living water. And listen to what Jesus says at the very end as he's now got her attention. When someone reads your mail and peers into someone's soul, you're going to get their attention. And Jesus said, everyone who drinks this natural water will be thirsty again. The natural water of sex and entertainment and idleness or whatever it is, the natural water is empty. Even in the natural, you drink and what do they say? You have to drink 8 glasses of water a day because you thirst again. But Jesus said, the water I give them, the spiritual water I give you, will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's been our message today. The fountain of life. The fountain of life. Let it flow. Oh. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy, let this be your prayer. Holy Spirit, come and move in power. Let the river flow. Oh, let it be your prayer. If you're here or if you're watching online, let the river flow. Holy Spirit, let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come and move, Lord, in power. Let the river flow. Lord, let your river flow in us. Let your river flow in us. Church, thank God we're a house that brings times of refreshing. There's people that come Sundays and they say, oh, I left feeling so refreshed, so hopeful. In a dry and barren wasteland that we talked about, there's rivers of life. And they bring freedom to people that are kept in restrictive bubbles of lies, control, and fear. But that's who Jesus is. As his word says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Stand with me, church. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Bring the fountain of life here, Lord. More and more. Increase the pressure of the fountain of life so that more can receive the replenishing waters of God's Holy Spirit.